You're listening to the Simo and Jordan podcast. If listening persists, please see your therapist. Well, it's obviously too late for him. He's been listening far too long.
Takeaway with Simo and Jordan.
Hey, Simo, I saw this story over the weekend. I wanted to get your thoughts on it.
Okay.
It's about an overdue library book. Now, do you have any... Actually, do you have any library books at home, but are they overdue?
It's one of those things where as soon as you ask that question, you don't really know at this stage. When you're hitting, when you're getting towards your 30s and you haven't been in a library for a while, it's kind of like, maybe.
I don't know, I think in year 10 at school, I did take out The Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe.
That's right,
did I give that back?
Have I still got that Tintin comic? I don't know.
What school library did you go to that had comics?
Yeah, there was like a whole, section where you could get there's like Phantom, Tintin, what else, Asterix and Obelix, the ghouls versus the Romans on that one.
I'm so jealous. Simo, the library in America, in Ontario, I think it's pronounced, has come out and said that a book that was recently dropped into the return bin is believed to be over 100 years overdue. The book, it's by Charles Dickens, it's called Martin Chuzzlewit. And it was recently dropped back in the return book bin thing. By an anonymous person.
How good.
I wonder why he chose to remain anonymous, because there would be some late fees.
So how did they work out that it had been overdue for 100 years? Like, when they dropped it in the bin, was it just dust went everywhere?
Well, they say it had on it, because obviously they didn't have any computers or anything like that. It's not in their system.
Oh, all right.
But it does have a sticker on the library, and this library is over 100 years old.
There you go.
On the sticker, it says the going rates is 2 cents a day it costs to take out.
Yep.
Just if you're interested, 2 cents a day would have fees of $580 to pay, so not that bad.
Oh, wow. Okay. Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
But however, this is where I fear the story kind of starts to become a bit unraveled, shall
right.
we say.
Yeah, unhinged.
I don't think it's the library's fault. I think this is just kind of, you know, you see the big headline, 100 years overdue, blah, 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 and then you read the article and you're like, there's a quote from the chief librarian who says, oh, we're guessing it's maybe 50 years old.
Okay, right.
So it's like...
50 and 100.
So it's like,
close enough.
Her name is Rebecca Hind. She's the chief librarian. She's like, we're guessing it's maybe 100 to 50 years old. And I'm like, can we narrow it down a bit? That's quite a bit.
Yeah, well, that's because all librarians are not invulnerable. What are they? They're they're the ones that just don't die.
Vampires?
not vampires.
You want to kill a librarian, you have to just throw garlic at them. Don't go into your nearest library after eating garlicky Italian food.
That's right. That's why Twilight's never on the shelves at a library. They could keep all that logic.
That's why they didn't film it in a library. That's why Edward Cullen's always in a forest or something with his shirt off, not just browsing through the non-fiction section.
Classic misinformation to keep the librarians alive. No, but that's why she can't tell what year it was, because, you know, librarians, they live forever. Mm. Very dusty, and they do great work, but they've been there a while.
Hello to any librarians that have just been described as crusty and dusty.
Hello. So,
Simba, you might not have any overdue books. I think they will. They're currently going to your profile and just saying, yeah, that's Simba. Let's just pretend he hired out a book 20 years ago.
Nothing creepier than an old...
The Adventures of Tintin. Yeah, you owe us $3,000 in late fees for that, mister. Just because you called us crusty and old.
For a Tintin comic.
Yeah.
That's steep. I'd be able to buy one for that.
I know, I was going to say, it's probably just better off buying.
Simo and Jordan.
And you've been crossing borders, you've been checking passes and answering surveys.
Mm-hmm.
Welcome back, by the way.
Yes, so I did travel interstate all of last week to visit family.
Yeah, so...
I was very, very lucky. I'm fortunately one of the people that can do that, but obviously you have to do it safely. You've got all this paperwork and stuff you have to fill out. It is a bit of an ordeal, but...
So talk us through, what did you have to do? How long did you get stuck in an airport?
Weirdly, when you arrive at the airport, and, you know, you have to, like, check in an hour or so earlier...
Yep.
That's sort of all remarkably normal.
Okay.
Kind of... thing.
Yeah.
There's no shops or anything, so I couldn't buy an overpriced book or something like that. But and then you kind of get on the plane. Everyone's wearing masks. Everyone's very safe, COVID safe and all that sort of stuff. And then, yeah, there's just sort of paperwork and you have to do the various tests when you arrive at your destination.
Okay, right. Because you escaped South Australia right before...
Yeah, I picked a good week to go back to South Australia.
No,
what could possibly go wrong?
So you managed to... You made your escape mere hours... What, before you were...
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. So the reason I bring up, once again, the COVID-19 thing's been a-happening. Now, you are also a man that enjoys, would you say, gambling? I would say yes.
I don't even have to answer.
So COVID-19, in a bit of a weird move, Jordan, gambling and COVID-19 has come together.
Okay.
In not a good way. A food company over in the US that says it produces 20% of the beef, pork and chicken has suspended its managers who are accused of participating in a betting pool on how many employees would get COVID-19.
Ooh.
Yeah. Funny premise, dumb idea.
Yeah. It's kind of one of those things when you're having a few drinks with a mate, you go, oh, wouldn't this be a funny idea?
Yeah.
Don't actually do it.
Rookies. So they've opened up an investigation into all of that one.
So hang on, so let me get this. Is, so where, this was in the US, is it?
Yeah.
So is there a gambling company in the US that is offering, they're taking bets on that?
No, so that is just these managers of a business.
Oh, I see. Sorry, I gotcha.
Yeah,
okay.
Which is also not good when they say that they're obviously providing 20% of the US's meat and poultry.
Yeah.
But they're like, you know what would be funny? You know what would be hilarious?
Mm.
It would be really classic if we opened a betting pool on how many of our employees and who would catch COVID-19.
I mean, when they work for a major meat distributor or whatever you call this company, that is very bad. But maybe they're just taking leave from, oh, well, have seen what the president's doing recently?
Yeah.
It can't be worse than what he's up to.
It just can't.
He skipped like a meeting with world leaders to go play golf over the weekend.
Yeah, they do. It come from the leadership. It's trickle-down economics. But
what's going to be next? The manager of Starbucks or something is just kind of breaking all the rules.
Yeah, it's like we said, it's a funny premise, like dumb to actually do, obviously.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
But there would be obviously odds there as well. Like if you spotted one of your...
Just to stress again, dumb to do.
Super dumb.
Simo, you asked me at the start of this, do I like gambling? I'm starting to worry about you. You said super dumb and now all of a sudden you're... I wonder if I can make a cheeky little profit here on the side, actually.
Well, yeah, because I assume like the odds with them, they're like, well, I saw... James went to the loo the other day and then I saw him come out too quick. There's no way he washed his hands in that time. We'll drop his odds.
Brandon over there was sneezing. Pop him, heavy favourite.
That's so dark, man. It's so dark.
Takeaway with Simo and Jordan.
So I was away last week. I was very fortunate that I was able to go back and visit family and do that all safely with COVID and all that sort of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Was able to go back to my old childhood house, of which my mother still lives in.
Where's that?
In South Australia, where I grew up.
Oh, right, yeah.
So the house that I've lived all of my life in, all my childhood life, went back and slept in my childhood bedroom.
Really? Was that weird?
It was an emotional moment knowing that when I opened the door and saw that my mum had completely redesigned it during lockdown. It's got floorboards! What are these?
All right, wow.
So, yeah, that was a bit of a shock.
Didn't leave any of your posters up?
No, they're all in the wardrobe somewhere.
What did you have up when you grew up?
Oh, just posters of my football team.
Was that you had about 3 different answers there?
Yeah,
because were there naked people involved?
Look, I went with the G-rated poster.
Okay, yeah, cool.
And we shall move on.
That's a prime example between the differences between you and me. I had
the posters kind of on your bedroom wall kind of change as you get to about 14, 15.
Yeah, I still had Anakin Skywalker and Darth Vader. So
you still do now.
Well, I've got to the Joker now, so I love my cinema.
No, but Simo, I did want to bring up, because I was, there's still like a sofa bed in my old childhood bedroom, so that is where I was staying.
Yeah.
However, my old child bedroom door, it is a bit old. Well, the house is a bit old.
Mm.
And the door, obviously now that I've moved out, doesn't get a lot of use.
Okay, does it creak?
No.
Okay.
It does something worse.
Right, yeah.
It gets stuck.
Oy.
So close the door and it gets stuck and you have to really kind of pull it hard, give it a big yank to be able to open the door.
Okay.
Which is what I was doing about 2 o'clock in the morning once when I needed to go to the bathroom.
Yeah.
Gave the door handle a big pull to open the door and the door handle completely came off.
Oh, hell. That's an achievement.
I know.
Wow.
I don't know how I did that. I was kind of half asleep and I kind of pulled an old door and it's just in my hand. I'm like, How did I do that?
That wasn't actually the most noise of the night, because straight after you did that, you're like, I'm a god.
Like, no, straight after I did that, I said, bleep, because I had to go to the bathroom.
Yeah, right. So you got to break through the door somehow.
Well, yeah. Okay, Simo, so we're in the studio here. The door is behind you. It's one of the ones that, so we open it towards us to leave. If that door handle was broken and there was no one around to open it from the other side, what would you do?
And I needed to go to the loo.
Yes.
There you go.
You're holding up your flask of tea.
The thermos, yeah.
I mean, yeah, but we still have to get out the door.
Yeah, but then I won't be. It won't be as pressured. You know what I mean? I can wait for reinforcements.
Look, I've got to be honest.
If you take a leak in your cantina, then you can wait.
I mocked your tactic, but rewind to a week ago, 2 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah,
I'm thinking there's no.
There's a window, I assume.
Look, it wasn't my proudest moment.
You have to pee through the fly screen?
At two o'clock in the morning, opening the window.
Nice. Quality.
I was really hoping no one walked past.
Yeah, at 2 a.m., you'd be fine.
Well, I bet I hope so. Imagine if they're walking home and just, hello.
Someone's dog just cruising past them. What the hell?
Oh, why can't I do that at my house?
Yeah, right. So, Ed, was there anything mentioned at the breakfast table the next morning?
Look, I mean,
you're sitting there with Mum back in your childhood home, having just pissed out your childhood window.
Yeah, more bacon, please.
Actually, I should. You got your knife and fork. Ask for some bacon. You're like, actually, I should probably wash my hands.
Yeah, I might go do that first.
Simo and Jordan.
And business texts communing with a business, as it were.
All things that we don't have to do in this line of work. Yeah. Hence, by way, you can't even say what it is.
Communing with a business.
Business text communing.
So when you do home projects and stuff, or if you've got a mate that needs to get something done, curtains, floors, that kind of stuff.
Okay, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Oh, I see. So if you're helping out.
Yeah.
I'll just say helping out. No, well, like home business communing.
No, if you need to get someone in.
Oh, I see. Okay.
To do your curtains or to do the bathroom, fix the mirrors.
I gotcha.
Because you keep, you know, missing when you go to the toilet, you got to get those tiles replaced at home.
It's true.
That kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
When you are communing with those businesses, what times are you doing? Because a woman has left social media users in a bit of a tiff because she revealed she messaged a carpet fitter after midnight.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, look, I mean, I think messaging at any time is fine.
Really?
I mean, by all means, don't expect a response.
Okay, yeah.
But, you know, I would be very anti-calling them at that time to wake the poor carpet fitter up.
But you would text. You're fine with texting anyone, like a plumber, a sparky, a tradie of any kind.
I mean, don't get me wrong. If it can wait till morning, wait till morning.
Okay, yeah.
But, you know, if it's an emergency or maybe there's another reason or whatever, I mean, send a text. By all means, don't expect a response.
Right. What about for quotes? If you want to get quoted something at 12:15 a.m. is when this happened.
Yeah.
She sent a message to a carpet fitter for a quote, of which he did respond.
Okay.
In kind. He said, yes, here's the quote, numbered the quote, and then who the asks for carpets at 12:15 a.m.?
Simo, just a little question. If you did message a carpet fitter at that time and he got back to you, would you maybe think, maybe not the best. He's obviously out on the drink all night. Not going to do the best job with the carpets.
Potentially.
Maybe it's a test.
You reckon?
Maybe this person messaged 5 different carpet fitters. 4 got back. The one that got back at a responsible time was like, okay, you're in bed.
Yeah.
You're going to do a good job. I will go with you.
You're well rested.
Yes.
If there's one thing I'm looking for in my carpet fitters, it's well rested individuals.
It's so they're not hungover and texting clients at midnight.
Which he's asked for a quote, which he's delivered as well. So he's done some quick math as well in the middle of the night. Maybe that's what she's trying to do.
Okay, again, perhaps another test.
Get a cheaper price, hoping he'll screw up his maths. It's in the middle of the night. He won't get this right.
And that's why text, not call, because it's all you can go back.
It's in writing.
Exactly.
We've taken it to our own social media. Let us know what time it's okay to text a business. So far, overwhelming majority, we're looking at 75% saying the last time you should be texting a business is at 5 p.m.
Mm.
Nothing else after that.
Well, I mean, again, like I say, I reckon it's okay to text after, but don't expect a response.
Alicia suggesting 7 p.m. is the done thing. You can go until 7.
Yeah.
Maybe because you're about to have dinner, so it's pre-dinner and you're not settled yet.
And, you know, you're just thinking, oh, dinner time, that's when we always discuss carpets.
Now, Thomas has messaged us to say 9 p.m., he reckons. It's pushing it.
Yeah.
9 p.m., if you kind of, that's like when you are going to bed.
Or when this carpet fit is going to the pub.
And then finally, we've got Jack. Jack Johnson reckons there's no limits, baby.
24-7.
24-7, you can be hitting up people for quotes and texting any business you like.
I mean, well, the business is business. You got to push boundaries to get the dollar. Mm. Are these sayings or am I just saying words?
You're just saying words there. But much...
Or just stick with the carpet you already have.
Much like receiving a message at midnight about carpets... You'd be worried if, you know, maybe this is code, this is something else that they're looking for.
Yeah.
Takeaway with Simo and Jordan.
And Simo, oh, hang on, just have to quickly check. Phone, keys, wallet, yeah, good, got everything. Do you have all of your stuff?
No, my stuff's in the other room. So I've got my phone on me, my wallet, my keys, and other stuff are elsewhere.
Also, the reason I bring it up is because I saw this story over the weekend. It's an absolutely crazy story. It's a guy whose name is Joseph Bees. B-E-W-E-S. Buez.
Well, I'm glad I know his name now.
Well, look, his name's Joseph. We'll just stick with that. And he was having a New Year's Eve party at a place called Lennox Head in New South Wales, which is sort of just underneath the Queensland border.
Okay.
If that makes sense. And yeah, he lost his wallet on New Year's Eve.
Mm.
And it has now been reunited with him.
Wait, New Year's Eve?
Yeah.
Last New Year's Eve?
Not last New Year's Eve.
Okay.
New Year's Eve 25 years ago.
Wow.
He lost his wallet celebrating the 94 into 95 New Year's Eve.
I was 3.
I was -1.
You didn't exist.
So he lost at a New Year's Eve party there, and it has been found on the beach.
So that wallet's older than you.
Yeah.
So that wallet, it's like you... Right, but...
Well, leathery and been in the ocean for 25 years.
Yeah, like someone's been without their wallet longer than Jordan has been on planet Earth.
Look, I mean, I don't want to, you know, jump to conclusions, but I'm assuming old mate got a new wallet.
Yeah.
And get the card sent out, phone your bank, it's easy.
Yeah, but there's might not be another... Much like there's not another Jordan out there, there's not another wallet out there.
There are other Jordans out there.
Not like you.
I'm not the only person in the world whose name is Jordan. There's a famous basketballer whose second name is Jordan.
Michael Jordan, yeah. But if he lost a wallet...
Yeah.
Yeah, he'd just buy another one. Yeah, you're right.
But so how crazy is that? So we lost it on a New Year's Eve party 25 years ago and it is now washed up. Someone found it, posted on a social media, a local community group for Lennox Head.
Yeah.
It was noticed by someone else who kind of put the dots together.
Okay.
And all of a sudden, yeah, old mate Joseph has his wallet back after 25 years.
How did they put the dots together?
Well, I mean...
Was he still putting up posters around town about...
No.
Okay.
But obviously, it had ID in the wallet and, like, cards and license and all, and you can see the name.
I thought their local newspaper was still covering the great wallet loss of 1995.
Imagine that. 23 years in, still no wallet.
It's a cold case.
Let the joyous news be spread. The wallet has been found.
It's like, what is the place called?
Lennox Head.
Lennox Head Times every Friday opens up a cold case.
Mm.
The story of the 1995 lost wallet right next to the 1992 misplaced wrench.
Is that the first thing you could think of? A wrench.
Yeah, well, you know, if you misplace it, yeah, it sucks because you might need it.
Okay, I don't think that's what the local newspaper did. But also, just imagine if they did do that. Like, every single day you'd open up the newspaper, still no wallet. Must be easy being a journo there.
There's an idea, Monero Post. Get on that.
No, but Simo, imagine if you got your wallet back after 25 years.
Right.
What? I mean, okay. it's pretty much useless to this guy, Joseph, now.
Is it?
Well, yeah, I mean, because all the cards have expired.
That's true.
They said there was $5 in it, so, ooh. I mean, maybe that hasn't been mouldy or whatever, so perhaps you could use that.
$5 note?
Yeah.
Damn it.
But, yeah. I mean, it's like you're kind of going to get, yeah, I got my wallet back, and then 24 hours later it's stuffed in a drawer somewhere. You're not going to carry it around. You're not going to start using it again if it's been in the ocean for 25 years.
I think you are. If it's in good enough shape.
Yeah.
That bloke, every time he goes to buy a beer, he now is the king of the bar in regards to stories. Because you know how there's always like, you need a conversation starter.
In 6 months' time, his mates are like, yeah, Joseph, we know. Can we move on? You say this every weekend.
Now, this wallet, right? You'll never guess what happened to it.
People wouldn't believe. This wallet's been in the ocean for 25 years. All right, mate, you've had too much. Let's go home.
Simo and Jordan. This is the end, but only of today's podcast. And remember, don't move toward the light.
No, go toward the light.
No, don't go toward the light.
You've got to go toward the light.
Don't listen to him.
Yes.
Shut up.
Right.
To hear Simo and Jordan live, join them for Takeaway, on air weeknights from 7 across the Capital Radio Network.
Yeah. That should do it.